angels and dreams, and wise men who take off for faraway lands following stars, tyrants who want to kill all firstborn children. All these things are so entirely foreign to our experience of life that we can easily dismiss this story or ignore it altogether. In our gospel reading from Matthew, we hear that the wise men have departed, and an angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream. Since we aren't exactly sure what angels are, and even if something as mysterious and unprovable as angels exist, and since we can't claim to have had a winged being appear to us in a dream, we might just tune out here. It's the second day of the new year, after all, and there is so much on the horizon, so much to do to close out 2010 and to plan for 2011. There's more football to be watched and more celebrating to be done, surely. Off wanders your mind right out the door. People like Mary and Joseph had experiences with angels, but not people like Lee, or Joe, or Holly, or you. None of this is relevant to me, and since it's not relevant, I can dismiss it away and move on with life as I know it. Life that does not involve interactions with supernatural beings, even in dreams. Life that involves bills and illnesses and day in and day out dealings with families and co-workers. If we had a visitation by an angel, would we even know it? If God was trying to get our attention in our waking or in our sleeping, would we slow down long enough to know it? So often we struggle with wanting to know what God would have us do. So often we question the direction that God would have for our lives. Have you ever said, "If only I had a burning bush like Moses"? I know I have. I actually have wanted not only a burning bush, but a signed, sealed, and delivered personal invitation from God that could in no way be questioned. The interesting part of that burning bush is Moses' part in that deal. Moses says, in response to the bush that is burning and not consumed, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." Moses saw the bush and paid attention. He didn't keep going. He didn't ignore it or turn his head so that the bush was out of his line of vision. He turned aside and looked at something that he noticed was unusual and a great sight, and then God spoke to him. The same was true with the wise men and with Joseph. The wise men were paying attention to the stars. They had been tracking them for quite a while, noting the regularity of their progression across the night sky. There was Orion, Pleiades, Ursula, Major and Minor, and Leo. But what was this new bright star? Something that had not been witnessed before. Brighter, larger. They didn't explain it away. They didn't speculate and analyze. They followed it. They went after it. They saw a great sight and set off for it. Joseph, on the other hand, went to sleep. It had been a crazy time ever since he had discovered that Mary was pregnant. A real roller coaster ride. Sleep was something he desperately longed for and feared all at the same time. It was just a couple of months ago that an angel appeared to him in a dream and told him that Mary was not the unfaithful disgrace that he thought she was, that she was in fact carrying the Son of God. He trusted the train. That time. But life had not been easier for him since then. He still had to go to Bethlehem for that dreaded census. And it was there in that stable that Mary had given birth. If it weren't for the heavenly chorus and the shepherds appearing out of nowhere, and then those magi or astronomers or kings or whatever they were from the east, he would have seriously doubted that angelic intervention. Why on earth would God allow his son to be born in an animal trough? It makes no sense. Sleep. All Joseph wants and needs right now is sleep. But his sleeping will be interrupted again. Another heavenly intervention occurs. This time, the angel tells Joseph to take Mary and the child and go to Egypt because the madman Herod has pronounced that all infants less than 2 years old will be killed. And if you're still paying attention and your mind hasn't walked out the door, this will remind you of Moses. Remember when his mother put him in a basket of bulrushes? Because the Pharaoh had announced that all the sons of the Hebrews would be killed? Matthew wants us to think about that. Matthew wants us to know that Jesus is the fulfillment of something that God had started long, long ago. And that may or may not matter to us today, but it mattered to Matthew. What should matter for us today, tomorrow, the day after that, next week, all this year, is that Moses and the wise men and Joseph and Mary are not just Bible characters, which sounds a lot like superheroes. Those who we know do not exist in reality. Mary and Joseph and Moses and the wise men are not like Superman or Spider-Man or Wonder Woman. They were real people just like you and just like me. The difference, perhaps, is that they were open to God's involvement and interaction in their lives. They stopped and paid attention and acted upon what they had experienced. Are we open to God's intervention in our lives? Are we paying attention to how God is reaching out to us through dreams or people or even burning bushes? Are we willing to be used by God? After Moses saw the burning bush and knew what a great sight was in his line of vision, he wavered. He came up with all sorts of excuses for why he wasn't worthy. You can do the same thing. Claim unworthiness. I'm not sure why we think that we need to be worthy to be used by God. That really doesn't seem to be the way that God has worked throughout history. He seems to call on the least worthy, so that everyone knows that God is involved. Pay attention. God is reaching out to you. There may not be winged beings in your living room or even in your dreams, but God is reaching out to each and every one of us. God has a call and a purpose for each one of us. There's no excuse except not paying attention. Amen.